Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when we may be facing turning points involving the battle against the COVID-19 virus. All kinds of new guidelines being issued for the J&J vaccine. There's continued concern about vaccine hesitancy. We'll be speaking to a couple of true medical experts who have been dealing with this crisis, the pandemic, from the very, very beginning. Dr. Ettore Palazzo and Dr. Francis Rito. They're both with the Evergreen Health. And that was the first hospital in the country to be dealing with serious COVID-19 cases. Where do we go from here? And what happens next? And are people right or justified at all in the vaccine hesitancy, which is more and more of a factor and more of a controversy? We'll be speaking to the two doctors, Ettore and Francis, coming up on the Michael Medved Show. We'll also be speaking with David Frum, former speechwriter to President George W. Bush, a leading conservative thinker. He just wrote a piece on the rise of Ron DeSantis. What is it about the governor of Florida that is suddenly making him a front runner for a presidential nomination? Doesn't he have a re-election fight to go through first? We will get to that on the Michael Medved Show. And, of course, ongoing discussion about what the Chauvin verdict means, the big story of this week, and the battle over statehood for D.C. We will get to that as well. In terms of the battle over statehood for D.C., it should be very clear. I've made it very clear on the show before. I think D.C. statehood is a terrible idea. And it's not even a constitutional idea for reasons that I'll explain. And again, you would need to get a constitutional amendment to actually get that done if you wanted to make D.C. a separate new state. Why? Because its status is specified in the Constitution of the United States. You can't just change the Constitution with a bare majority vote in the Senate of the United States. And by the way, most senators even agree. You can't do it without getting rid of the filibuster first. And, of course, one of the reasons they want to go with statehood for D.C. is to put in two extra Democratic senators who would almost surely would be very radical Democratic senators so that they can do things like pack the courts and get rid of the filibuster. But let me tell you something. If you look at this, I was just reading some books that I have them piled right here in front of me. Don't worry, I'm not going to read to you out loud from a bunch of law books. But it's very relevant here. And honestly, I don't think there's a constitutional expert who doesn't understand that there are problems with the Democratic bill that passed the House by the barest of margins with no Republican support. There's a problem with that bill in terms of the Constitution, both as violation of the Constitution establishing the District of Columbia as a seat of government, and secondly, with the 23rd Amendment, which was passed giving the District of Columbia the right to vote in presidential elections. D.C. has three electoral votes in presidential elections. And part of the agreement in that particular amendment, when it was passed with two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate and three-quarters of the states all endorsing it, was that, yes, this was a compromise that would continue the status of the District of Columbia, which, by the way, most district residents do not want to get rid of. because the alternative has been offered many, many times, and the alternative is what they call retrocession. We will get into all of that, but first, let's take a listen to Charles Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader. He was speaking on the Senate floor yesterday. This is after the House had barely, without anywhere near the two-thirds they would need for constitutional change, they had barely passed with only Democratic votes. The vote was 216 to 208. They had passed a bill trying to promote statehood for what they would call the state of Washington. Yeah, really. A Douglas Commonwealth. That's to be distinct from the state of Washington, Seattle Commonwealth, I guess. I mean, again, the entire idea is cuckoo. But here is Chuck Schumer on the floor of the Senate of the United States trying to defend it. Listen.
I applaud my House Democratic colleagues for taking this important step towards recognizing the full citizenship of more than 700,000 residents of the District of Columbia. This is a matter of just representation. Our system of government is designed to give everyone in our country a voice in forging their own destiny. Most citizens do that by voting for members of Congress and senators from their states to represent them in this temple of democracy, to advocate for their interests, to voice their concerns. The District of Columbia has more residents than Vermont and Wyoming, and nearly the same as Delaware, Alaska, and several other states. And they bear the full responsibilities and duties of citizenship, like residents in all those other states. D.C. residents can be summoned for jury duty. They have served in every war since the American Revolution, and they pay federal income taxes just like residents from every other state. You can learn from any license plate outside. You can learn that from any license plate outside this building. And yet, they are denied real representation in Congress. In the words D.C. borrowed from the Founding Fathers, taxation without representation.
Okay, again, when you say without representation, representation does not require statehood. If you let me explain to you, and I don't want to go into it in great detail, but it's very important people know a little bit of the history of Washington, D.C. And I would love it if you would take out a map or access a map on your computer screen if you're listening on the computer. Washington, D.C. was established originally in a 10-mile by 10-mile square. It was supposed to be 100 miles. It was a perfect square. It was authorized by Congress in 1791, and then George Washington was given, the President of the United States at the time, was given the right to go ahead and help draw the boundaries of D.C., but it couldn't be more than 10 miles on any corner. So it was exactly 100 miles, crossing the Potomac River, with half of the state on the Virginia side, half of the new district on the Virginia side, and half of it on the Maryland side. The Potomac River runs right through the middle. There were only two little towns in that area, and they became part of the District of Columbia. The two towns were Georgetown on the Maryland side and Alexandria on the Virginia side. What happened is, as these little villages grew, and as the district grew, and they moved the government there, in the 1840s, Virginia wanted the land it had given to the District of Columbia back. And so they did what is called retrocession. Up until that time, by the way, up until the Organizing Act, the District of Columbia Organic Act, it's called, of 1801, for the first 10 years, people who lived on the Virginia side of the Potomac River continued to vote in Virginia, and people who lived on the Maryland side continued to vote in Maryland. And right now, there's no more Virginia side, because in 1846, they gave that land back to Virginia. That's where Alexandria is today. It's where Arlington is today, which are fairly big centers of population. They now vote in Virginia. They're part of the state of Virginia. The same thing could happen easily with the half of the original District of Columbia that was given from the state of Maryland to create the federal capital. Now, what would be holding that up? Well, actually, it would need the approval of the Maryland legislature, almost certainly. But let's continue on this, because the whole idea that the only thing to do is create a cockamamie new state.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my new product, My Slippers. They took me over 2 years to develop because I didn't want just an ordinary slipper. My slippers are meant to be worn all day long, no matter what you're doing, whether you're inside or outside. My slippers come with an exclusive three-tier cushioning system that you won't find in any other slipper. It combines two layers of foam, including my proprietary My Pillow Foam, and a patented impact gel made from U.S. soybeans. My three-tier cushioning system is going to help relieve pressure points, provide that micro support you need for all day comfort, and help prevent fatigue. Not only that, my slippers are made with high quality leather and a premium indoor outdoor sole that makes them extremely durable. I personally guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own.
Call 800-320-6280 or mypillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/MedVet, you can get a free mini book. Free! Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/MedVet. That's discovery.org/MedVet.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The Michael Medved Show, MichaelMedved.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, speaking about the ongoing fight over the District of Columbus, over Washington, D.C., over what the Democrats want to create, which is something called State of Washington Douglas That's Douglas as in Frederick Douglass, Douglass Commonwealth. And again, just think about what this would mean. Because home rule for Washington, D.C. was just fully voted in 1971. Congress authorized it. And what home rule did was it created a city council and a mayor. And honestly, if they, what would they do? No one has even talked about this. Because would you then have a city council and a mayor and then a state legislature for this same 60 square miles, which is what you're talking about? And again, this is not even close in terms of land area. We have some very small states. I mean, people know Rhode Island is a small state, but I've traveled in Rhode Island. And Rhode Island has a bunch of different communities. It has countryside. It has some very beautiful beachfront property. It has Newport. Newport is a beautiful historic city that has old summer mansions from very wealthy people in the 19th century. It has fields and farms, and it is a very, very interesting state to visit, and it's big enough to be an interesting state. It also has a much higher population than Washington, D.C., and that's the smallest state that we have. In terms of people making the point, there's a tweet by Charles Rice. He had sent it out before, and I objected to it before on the air, and now he's sent it out again because this issue is coming up again because the House of Representatives of the United States voted to compel this statehood for D.C. What Charles Rice said, in fact, let's do it as our tweet of the day. This from the former labor secretary in the Clinton administration, now a professor of law at University of California, Berkeley. Here's our tweet of the day.
From page now to the internet.
I mean, wow, what a great, smart tweet.
Change his password so he no longer has access to his Twitter feed.
Did you send the tweet?
I did not send that tweet. My system was hacked. I was pranked.
Donald Trump hasn't tweeted at us once, and I'm starting to get worried about him.
So we have a new tweet.
All right.
Can I do the honors?
Stand by. Tweet alert.
The tweet from Robert Reich, his certified account on Twitter, he says, D.C. is 46% black and has zero senators. Wyoming is 1% black and has two senators. D.C. has 120,000 more people than Wyoming. Opposition to D.C. statehood is racist, period. See, when you get to this argument, and of course that's the argument Schumer was coming to and that everybody is coming to, this is an illustration of what I talked about yesterday. Is that basically Republicans are going to conduct the whole election coming up, and should, based upon respecting the law, the Constitution, order, respecting and supporting police, despite the fact that there are bad cops and we have to go after bad cops and the Chauvin jury made the right decision. Fine, but you cannot defund or disestablish or get rid of police. Democrats are going to run their whole election for 2022 based upon the idea that the other side are racist, they are haters, they are bigots, they are white supremacists, and that's why they are bringing this up in this issue. And it has nothing to do with it. Now, let me be very clear here. I'm not saying that Republicans are Simon Pure on this issue. Of course, part of what they care about is this would be granting, do you know what percentage of, this would be granting Democrats a permanent extra two seats in the Senate, which given how closely divided the Senate has been for the last couple of decades, that would be a gigantic advantage. There is a partisan aspect to this. Joe Biden did fairly well in District of Columbia. He got 93% of the vote. Not an exaggeration. He really did. I mean, come on. What you're talking about is not a one-race state. There are 46% of the population of District of Columbia, which is just over 700,000, is black. But over 90% of it is Democratic. And the idea of a one-party little mini city-state, part of what this, I think, should recall is it was 1969 that Norman Mailer ran for mayor of New York City. And Norman Mailer, the controversial novelist, he ran for mayor of New York City, pledging to make New York City the 51st state. And the idea was obviously New York, with a population of 8 million, had a much bigger population than other states, and that this way you would have different counties that would constitute the five boroughs, and it would have a state legislature, and basically it would bring government, he said, closer to the people. Now, of course, it went nowhere, because the other states were not going to accept a state that was simply a city, even a big city like New York. Now, you're talking about D.C. is one-tenth the size and population of New York City. And what would you do? Would you get rid of the mayor and the city council? What would the state legislature look like? What's the even point? Would they continue to have two houses of the legislature like most states do? Nebraska doesn't. Nebraska only has one house. Or would you just go to the Washington, D.C. City Council, which is a city council? And frankly, if you look at Washington, D.C. economically, in the D.C. area, the area including D.C. suburbs, the D.C. suburbs, it's five of the seven richest counties in America are right in the D.C. area, because so much power has flowed to Washington, D.C., the seat of the federal government. And there's something else as well. This whole idea of creating new states, it's basically a fantasy. There are people I know who have been trying to create a state of Cascadia, which would be eastern Washington getting rid of Seattle, and because most of Washington, east of the mountains, is more Republican and conservative. Should that be a brand new state? Should Northern California be a brand new state? I've been to Northern California. There's serious people who have done petition drives. But see, it will never happen, because the level of approval to create something new like that is very, very hard. And particularly when D.C. is laid out as a separate governmental district in the Constitution of the United States. And then that is confirmed by the 23rd Amendment to the Constitution, which granted D.C. the right to vote in presidential elections. And the 23rd Amendment of the Constitution, that came out in the 1960s. We're going to be speaking with David Frum, editor and editor at The Atlantic Magazine, about his piece on Ron DeSantis.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden's first overseas trip as America's leader is scheduled for June. The White House saying Biden will visit the United Kingdom and attend the G7 summit. Then he'll go to Belgium for the NATO summit in Brussels. Protests are continuing in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, as hundreds are marching the streets demanding answers surrounding the shooting death of Andrew Brown Jr. Brown Jr. was shot by police as he was running away from them when they were trying to serve him a warrant. City Council member with Elizabeth City, Darius Hart, tells Fox News he's hoping to hear some answers from the police soon.
We're out here simply asking for our local sheriff to come forward and provide us with the answers so we can sleep at night so we'll know what happened the other day.
The sheriff's department has not yet released the body cam footage of the shooting. This is USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Michael, you have the greatest show on the planet.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, Ron DeSantis has been all over the headlines as a rising force in the Republican Party. And some people consider him to be the real front runner for President of the United States for the Republican nomination. There's a fascinating piece, and it's insightful as always, by my friend David Frum in the Atlantic magazine under the heading The Rise of Ron DeSantis. The subhead is The Florida Governor's Sudden Prominence is partly about him, partly about his critics, but mostly about his state. David, you come across in the piece and you make it sound like this DeSantis boomlet or whatever it is for real. Do you think he, assuming that President Trump does not run, that Ron DeSantis could be considered one of the front runners?
He's certainly one of the most active and visible people running. We don't know whether he will, of course. It's a tremendous undertaking to run for president, so we don't know that. But he is well positioned, and I tried to understand in the piece why, and to explain to readers why he'd be formidable.
Right, and part of what you're saying is part of it is because Florida has done much better than people predicted in terms of dealing with a pandemic, got kids back to school earlier, and yet Florida, despite its very elderly population, has not been one of the top locations for infection. There's quite a contrast between Governor DeSantis and Governor Cuomo, say.
Yeah, so this is the case, as I said, there are three things that he's got going for him. The story tells about himself, his critics who are helping him, and some facts about Florida. What he's got going for himself is Florida didn't do great during the pandemic. It's about the middle of the pack. It's not one of the states that did really well, but it didn't do as badly as a lot of the early publicity suggested it would. And DeSantis made one big bet that turned out really well, which is he allowed kids to return to in-classroom instruction in August. And if you take seriously the harm that has been done to a generation of school children by losing this year of in-person instruction, in 2024, a lot of people are going to remember that and say, that was a gutsy move, and it made a difference.
Okay, you talk about meeting DeSantis in 2016 in your piece, and I think today many people think of him as sort of a one-dimensional member of the Trump cheering section. But his background isn't that. His background is more of a mainstream Republican, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the way he seemed to me. I met him in April of 2016 at a convention at a time when just about everybody assumed that Donald Trump would probably be the nominee and would probably go on to lose badly to Hillary Clinton. He was at that point 10 points behind in the polls. And the only likely alternative to Trump at that point was Ted Cruz, who was also 10 points behind Hillary Clinton in the polls. So at this convention, the intention of people was, okay, figuring that we're probably going to lose the 2016 election, what does our future talent look like? And there are a number of promising people there. And one of the reasons I wrote this piece is, at the time, I didn't think of DeSantis as one of the stars of that convention, and neither did most people there. I mean, all eyes are sort of fixed on the very glittering figure of Eric Greitens, who is about to become governor of Missouri, who is a former Navy SEAL, but also a brilliant intellect, also spent the first Jewish governor of a deep red state, and he looks so impressive. But the Greitens career collapsed amid scandal, and people have different views of how serious those scandals are, but he did have to resign. And DeSantis just kept plugging along in a very methodical way, first as a Bush Republican, then as a Romney Republican, and then totally reinventing himself as a Trump Republican.
Do you think that there is a chance that even if first of all, do you think that President Trump is going to be a candidate in 2024? He keeps hinting that he will.
Well, I think he's going to keep hungering for attention. He craves that. I just think he's heading for so many legal and personal and business difficulties. I think it's going to be hard to get off the ground. And if the Democrats have a good 2022, as they could well have, because people are going to be so happy to see the back of COVID and see the economy expanding, then I think then it's going to be at that point. You know, Trump lost the popular vote in 2016, had a disastrous election in 2018, got crushed in 2020. Biden, and if the Democrats do well in 2022, I think a lot of Republicans are going to say, we need to try something new. And we need especially to put an end to Trump's politics of racial provocation and look for a candidate who does well with different kinds of groups. And that's what DeSantis has done in Florida.
Yeah, you mentioned in your piece that Trump actually did surprisingly well among Latinos in Florida. DeSantis does even better. He has a 47% approval rating among Latinos, which is very high. Could he bridge the gap between the never-Trump wing of the party and people who want nothing more than nothing better than the return of Trump? Could DeSantis bridge that gap?
There's something even weirder going on, which is I think what we've got is the never-Trumpers are on their way out of the Republican Party, because generally university-educated white people are on their way out of the Republican Party. But who are on their way into the Republican Party are especially Latino men. And this has been a trend that's been underway for a while, but DeSantis has really led the way. And so you've got this remixing of the American party system. And Trump profited from it, but he never understood it, and he could never do it. DeSantis understands it and is doing it consciously.
And in terms of the DeSantis campaign, I mean, it seems to me that this anti-rioting bill, which, of course, the Democrats are trying to characterize as an anti-protest bill, the anti-rioting bill is another big plus for Ron DeSantis, yeah?
Well, this is an example of his method. So Trump's method was to start a giant culture war against all of American society. Insult every woman, you know, insult everybody, as many people as you could take. And in the end, that dragged him down. What DeSantis has figured out is you want to just poke your opponents. And then you hope to get a big enough reaction from them that that allows you to pivot. So, like with this bill, for example, this is something that the typical voter is not going to care very much about. But the MSNBC left and the Fox News right, they get excited. And so this allows him to position himself as a culture warrior for conservatives and then to withdraw from the fight and say to mainstream voters, what are you talking about? This is no big deal. Like people are carrying on as if I abolished the First Amendment in the state of Florida. I didn't do that. So he has this way of pivoting, starting fights, and then retreating from them before the voters he cares about get frightened by him.
Okay, and it is, in fairness, this is a bill that does not eliminate or condemn all protest. It condemns violence in protest. It does not authorize, contrary to some reporting, that people can drive into a crowd of protesters and mow them down without consequences, right?
Yeah, I'm also very doubtful that the bill is going to survive judicial challenge. I mean, I don't think it's a real project. Like a lot of his projects, like his ban on critical race theory, they're not real projects. Their attempts to poke people he doesn't like and excite people he does like. And then the goal is to forget about the whole thing by the time that everyday normal voters are paying attention. And he's going to tell them about his efforts to save the Everglades. He's going to tell them about how he increased education spending. And above all, and this is going to be the thing he's going to run on, that he got the kids back into school during pandemic times.
Which is a huge accomplishment and certainly something that Americans do care about. David Frum, people should read his piece. We've posted it up at our website at michaelmedved.com, The Rise of Ron DeSantis. And in terms of the Democrats running basically as the anti-racist party and trying to characterize all Republicans as incurably racist, boy, are they piling on regarding this D.C. statehood issue. You'll have to hear the rest of what Senator Schumer said and then some of his colleagues in the House just blasting anyone opposed to the creating a new state of Washington Douglas Commonwealth as basically Ku Kluxers and white supremacists. We'll be right back on The Medved Show.
Michael Medved.
I listen to you every single day.
Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Grovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com at 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for MedVed listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces. It's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Blessing to see you,
Michael Medved.
Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I've mentioned many times that I believe that the Democrats in their planning for 2022 are basing the entire campaign on issues of race. And part of this is based on a mistake, and part of it is based on a lie. And yeah, there's a difference between a mistake and a lie. The mistake is the idea that America is becoming a what people call a majority-minority nation, or minority-majority nation. That when you add up all of the people of color, the people who do not identify as non-Hispanic white, that represents very close to a majority of Americans. Well, first of all, it doesn't. And in the election last time, when you had record high turnouts across the board for virtually every ethnic group, at record high turnouts, it was still 67% non-Hispanic whites who voted. And aside from that, part of what they talk about, the reason people use this term, non-Hispanic whites, is because in the census is showing this again. Of the 18.5% of Americans who identify as Latino, the majority of them identify as white. So the idea that all of a sudden Asians and Latinos and blacks are all going to vote the same and they're all going to be instinctive Democrats, that's a mistake. The lie that the Democrats are basing their politics on is the lie that Republicans are flat out racists, and they are using this issue of D.C. statehood to try to drive that point home. This is Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, and again, he's the Majority Leader by virtue of Kamala Harris being Vice President. Other than that, the Senate's tied. He spoke on D.C. statehood yesterday on the Senate floor. Listen, this is 6B.
Sadly, the debate over D.C. statehood has taken a rather dark turn. Some of my colleagues on the other side, rather than fashion any argument on the merits, have taken to denigrating the basic worth of residents of the District of Columbia. a part of our country that's 47% African American. One member of the minority party went so far as to say lawmakers should, quote, go out where the real people are across the country and ask them what they think about D.C. statehood. Get out to where the real people are. Bigotry. I shouldn't have to remind my colleagues that it's shockingly inappropriate to imply that lives and occupations and rights of D.C.'s residents are somehow less than their fellow citizens in other more real, quote unquote, and almost always more white parts of the country.
Okay, again, that is, I don't know which of the Republicans said get out to where the real people are, but part of the concern with D.C. statehood is Washington, D.C. is a company town. Most of the people who live in the district have some kind of involvement with the federal government. And yes, that very much includes all of the lobbyists and the labor union leaders and the various people who deal with government on a very regular basis. And to immediately denounce even a stupid comment like that, and I think it is a stupid comment, as naked racism, is as foolish as claiming that there are voter suppression plans going on by Republicans. But that, again, is despite the fact that three-quarters of Democrats, according to polling, support the idea of requiring identification for voting. They do. Everybody supports that. This is the way that Chuck Schumer speaks on the Senate floor, same speech, about Republican efforts to try to secure and shore up some of our election procedures. Listen.
It smacks of the effort going on right now in Republican legislatures all across the country to pass laws that are overwhelmingly make it harder for minorities, poor Americans, and younger Americans to vote. The far right, the hard right, which seems to be so dominant in the party on the other side, is so afraid of losing political power and so unwilling to appeal to anyone that doesn't already agree with them that their strategy has become to restrict voting rights and deny equal representation in Congress to thousands of them, to hundreds of thousands of Americans. So D.C. statehood, unfortunately, is part of a continuing thread of not allowing people their right to vote, to representation.
Okay. Again, all of this is nonsensical. D.C. does today elect a non-voting member of Congress, and without altering the Constitution, without changing anything, they could have Eleanor Holmes Norton, or whoever they do elect as the representative in Congress, vote. That's easy to do. And you could probably do that just by a vote of the House of Representatives if they really wanted to solve this problem rather than to agitate and find a basis for calling Republicans racist. Adam Kinzinger, the fine young conservative congressman from Illinois, is one of the people who said that he, for one, would be willing to join Democrats right now in saying, okay, you want to have your one member of the House of Representatives have the right to vote? Sure. That is doable. What is not doable is creating an entirely new state. I mean, one of the things, and it's a very big question, is what would the state legislature look like? Would it have a separate House and a separate Senate, like all the other states do, except for Nebraska, which is unicameral? There's another answer to these attacks by Democrats that I think was made very effectively, which was the choice to answer President Biden, who I know it's impolite to point this out, who is a white male, to have the choice answering President Biden when he gives his first speech to a joint session of Congress on the 28th of this month. That's next Wednesday, I believe. When he does that, he will be answered by Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, who gave such an outstanding speech at the Republican convention this last time. Mitch McConnell announced the choice. He said that Senator Tim Scott is not just one of the strongest leaders in our Senate Republican Conference. He's one of the most inspiring and unifying leaders in our nation. As Senator Scott likes to say, he is living his mother's American dream. And he has dedicated his career to creating more opportunity for our fellow citizens who need it most. And Scott, Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, who, by the way, had come very close to getting passage of a police reform bill and is now working. And Nancy Pelosi has even said, yes, she's willing to work on a bipartisan basis to get the George Floyd policing reform bill passed, which makes some useful changes. And Scott said, we face serious challenges on multiple fronts, but I am confident, as I have never been, in the promise and potential of America. I look forward to having an honest conversation with the American people and sharing Republicans' optimistic vision for expanding opportunity and empowering working families. Let me also share Scott's statement, which was excellent, on the George Floyd verdict. And this is the statement issued by Senator Tim Scott, Republican, yes, black Republican of South Carolina. He said this: George Floyd died because Derek Chauvin kneeled on his neck and stopped him from breathing for more than 9 minutes. There's no question in my mind that the jury reached the right verdict. While this outcome should give us renewed confidence in the integrity of our justice system, we know there is more work to be done to ensure the bad apples do not define all officers, the vast majority of whom put on the uniform each day with integrity and servant hearts. We must all come together to help repair the tenuous relationship between law enforcement and black and minority Americans. To deny the progress we've made, says Senator Scott, is just as damaging as not making progress at all. I urge people across this nation to peacefully make their voices heard and engage in conversations that will continue to move us toward a more just America. I believe in the goodness of our country. We can and will do better. It's terrific that Scott is going to be delivering the response to President Biden. And concerning the ongoing recall of the governor of California, there is a big new Republican, and I mentioned very big, who is aided by former Trump aides, who's just launched the race. And she is already marketing some of her campaign paraphernalia. Who are we talking about? We're talking Caitlyn Jenner. Is that for real? We'll see in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.